Shortly after the death of President Gordon B. Hinckley, the 14 men, apostles, who had conferred upon them the keys of the kingdom, gathered together in the upper room of the temple in order to reorganize the first presidency of the church. There's no question about what would be done. No hesitancy. We knew that the senior apostle was the president of the church. And in that sacred meeting, Thomas Spencer Monson was sustained by the Quorum of the 12 Apostles as the president of the church. He nominated and named his counselors. They likewise were sustained, and they were ordained and given the authority. President Monson giving the authority to exercise all of the keys, all of the priesthood keys of authority. And as the scriptures provide, he's the only man on the earth who has the right to exercise all of the keys. Though we all hold them in that group, there's one man called and ordained, becomes the president of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Already he was and had been sustained for years as a prophet, seer, and revelator. There was then the vacancy, and yesterday sustained a new member of the Quorum of the 12, Elder Todd Christofferson. He now joins that sacred brotherhood in that sacred circle, and the circle now stands filled. The calling of an apostle goes back to the Lord Jesus Christ. We had also sustained a number of 70s, and they have taken their place now. The scriptures provide that it's the responsibility of the Quorum of the 12 to direct all of the affairs of the church, and when they need help, they're to call upon the 70 instead of any other. And now we have 8 quorums of 70 scattered across the world, more than 300 of them, all holding the necessary authority to do whatever the 12 directs them to do. The Lord himself set in motion this pattern of administration. He went out in the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. When it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom he named apostles. Andrew had heard John speak and ran to his brother Simon and said, "We have found the Messiah," and brought him to Jesus. When Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. That thou shalt be called Cephas," which by interpretation is a stone. Simon and his brother Andrew were casting nets in the sea. James and John, sons of Zebedee, were mending their fishing nets. Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew, a publican or tax collector, Thomas, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Canaanite, Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, made up the original Quorum of the 12. He bid them all, "Come, follow me." He said to Peter, "I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And he told the 12, "He that believeth on me, the works that I shall do, he shall do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." He gave his apostles power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick everywhere. And he said, "The 12 hold the keys to to open the authority of my kingdom upon the four corners of the earth, and after that, to send word to every creature. Jesus once asked his disciples, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And Simon Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." When Jesus taught in the synagogue, many disciples said, "This is an hard saying. Who can bear it?" From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then Jesus said to the 12, "Will ye also go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." After the crucifixions, the apostle remembered that he had said that they should stay in Jerusalem. Then came the day of Pentecost, that great event when they received the Holy Ghost. They received a more sure word of prophecy and spake as they were moved upon by the Holy Ghost. And so they were complete. We know little of their travels and only where and how a few of them died. James was killed in Jerusalem. James was killed in Jerusalem by Herod. And Peter and Paul died in Rome. Tradition holds that Philip went to the east. Much more than this we do not know. They scattered and taught, testified, and established the church, and they died for their beliefs. And with their deaths came the dark centuries of apostasy. The most precious thing lost in the apostasy was the authority held by the 12, the priesthood keys. For the church to be his church, there must be a quorum of the 12 who hold the keys and confer them upon others. In time came the first vision, the restoration of the Melchizedek priesthood by Peter, James, and John. They were later told, "Verily I say unto you, the keys of this dispensation which ye have received have come down from the fathers, and last of all being sent down from heaven unto you. Behold, how great is your calling. Cleanse your garments, lest the blood of this generation be required at your hands." The restored Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints was young when the first presidency was organized, followed by the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, which was made up of ordinary men, and then the Quorums of the 70. The average age of that first Quorum of the 12 was 28, and there has been an unbroken line of authority. The priesthood keys given to the apostles have always been held by members of the first presidency and the Quorum of the 12. Yesterday, Elder Todd Christofferson became the 96th apostle to serve in the 12 in this dispensation. He will be ordained an apostle and given all the priesthood keys conferred upon the other 14 apostles, prophets, seers, and revelators, apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1976, an area general conference was held in Copenhagen, Denmark. Following the closing session, President Spencer W. Kimball desired to visit the Boer Frue Church, where the Thorvaldsen statues of the Christus and the 12 stand. He'd visited there some years earlier and wanted all of us to see it, to go there. To the front of the church, behind the altar, stands the familiar statue of the Christus, his arms turned forward and somewhat outstretched, the hand showing the imprint of the nails and the wound in his side very clearly visible. Along each side stand the statues of the apostle, Peter at the front to the right and the other apostles in order. Most of our group was near the rear of the chapel with the custodian. I stood up front with President Spencer W. Kimball before the statue of Peter with Elder Rex D. Pinniger and Johan Helge Ben Thien, president of the Copenhagen Stake. In Peter's hand, depicted in marble, is a set of heavy keys. President Kimball pointed to those keys and explained what they symbolized. Then in an act I shall never forget. He turned to President Bentheim with unaccustomed firmness, pointed his finger at him and said, "I want you to tell everyone in Denmark that I hold the keys. We hold the real keys, and we use them every day." I will never forget that declaration, that testimony from the prophet. The influence was powerful. The impression was physical in its impact. We walked to the back of the chapel and where the rest of the group was standing. Pointing to the statues, President Kimball said to the kind custodian, "These are the dead apostles." Pointing to me, he said, "Here we have living apostles. Elder Packer is an apostle. Elder Monson and Elder Perry are apostles. And I am an apostle. We are the living apostles." "You read about the 70s, the New Testament," he said, "and here are two of the living 70s, Elder Pinniger and Elder Hales." The custodian, who up to that time had shown no emotion, suddenly was in tears. I felt I had had an experience of a lifetime. We believe in the same organization that existed in the primitive church, namely apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, and so forth. When the 70 are ordained, though they are not ordained apostles, nor do they hold the keys, they have authority. And the 12 are to call upon the 70 when they need assistance to fill the several calls for preaching and administering the gospel instead of any other. Today there are 308 70s and 8 quorums. They represent 44 countries and speak 30 languages. We do not hear of priesthood keys being exercised in other Christian churches. It seems odd that we are described by some as being non-Christian when we are the only ones who have the authority and the organization that he established. The present 12 are very ordinary people. They are not, as the original 12 were not, spectacular individuals. But collectively, the 12 are a power. We come from a variety of occupations. You're scientists, lawyers, teachers. Elder Nelson was a pioneer heart surgeon. He performed thousands of surgical operations. He told me he gave every heart surgery patient a lifetime guarantee on his work. Several in this quorum are military men, a sailor, Marines, pilots. They have held various positions in the church, home teachers, teachers, missionaries, quorum presidents, bishops, stake presidents, mission presidents, and of most importance, husbands and fathers. They're all students of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What unites us is our love for the Savior and his Father's children and our witness that he stands at the head of the church. Almost to a man, the 12 come from humble beginnings, as it was when he was here. The living 12 are welded together in the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When the call came, each has put down his nets, so to speak, and followed the Lord. President Kimball has remembered his statement, "My life is like my shoes to be worn out in service." That applies to all members of the 12. We also wear out our lives in the service of the Lord, and we do so willingly. It is not an easy life for us or for our families. It is not possible to describe the contribution, the service, the sacrifice given by the wives of priesthood leaders all across the world. Some time ago, my wife and also Sister Ballard underwent consummately painful back surgery. Both are doing well. Neither has complained. The nearest my wife came to complain was, "This is no fun." It is the duty of the 12, under the direction of the presidency, to ordain and set in order the other officers of the church agreeable to revelation. We now have the means by which we can teach and testify to leaders and members all over the world electronically. But in order to confer the keys of authority in that unbroken line upon the priesthood leaders by the laying on of hands, wherever they are in the world, one of us must be there every time. The Lord said, and again I say unto you, that whosoever ye shall send in my name by the voice of your brethren, the 12, duly recommended and authorized by you, shall have the power to open the door of my kingdom unto any nation, whithersoever ye shall send them. The scriptures describe the 12 as traveling counselors. I'm no different from my brethren of the 12 and the 70 and the bishopric, with whom I have served for these 47 years, when I tell you that the record shows that I have been in Mexico and Central and South America more than 75 times, in Europe over 50 times, Canada 25 times, the islands of the Pacific 10 times, Asia 10 times, Africa 4 times, and China twice. To Israel, Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, the Dominican Republic, India, Pakistan, and Egypt, and many, many other places around the globe. And others have traveled even more than that. While the apostles hold all the priesthood keys, all leaders and members alike may receive personal revelation. Indeed, they are expected to seek it through prayer and to act on it by faith. For through him, the Lord said, we have access by the Spirit unto the Father. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now, Elder Christofferson may wonder, as I did, why one such as I should be ordained to the holy apostleship. There are many qualifications that I lack. There's so much of my effort to serve that is wanting. There's only one single thing, one qualification, that can explain it. Like Peter and all of those who have since been ordained, I have that witness. I know that God is our Father. He introduced his son Jesus Christ to Joseph Smith. I declare to you that I know that Jesus is the Christ. I know that he lives. He was born in the meridian of time. He taught his gospel and was tried. He suffered and was crucified and resurrected on the third day. He, like his Father, has a body of flesh and bone. He made his atonement. Of him I bear witness. Of him I am a witness. And this I bear in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.